Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Hi friends, welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I'm so excited to welcome you into this worship experience this morning. We are delighted that you've decided to make this your spiritual home. If this is your first Sunday with us, or if you've been worshiping with us for a really long time, we're so glad that you decided to join us this morning. What you're about to experience is a service that's been pre-recorded. This last week, we have worked incredibly hard with our Vacation Bible School students. We had 104 students participate in the experiences of this week, in addition to 70 volunteers who helped us pull this experience off. And then there were numerous other volunteers that came the weeks leading up to Vacation Bible School to give of their time and talent and resources to help make this experience possible. This Sunday, we're doing a pre-recorded service because some of the resources that we're using in the VBS live service were not able to live stream out. But this particular experience has been crafted with the same VBS messages and the same VBS set behind us that's been beautifully created so that you can participate in the joy that our students have experienced over the course of this last week. I want to let you know we're a church that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God. And I hope that something that you experienced during our time together would help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. As we gather this morning, I want to share a couple of things that are taking place here at our church that I'd love for you to be aware of. The first is that musical theater camp will be taking place next Sunday, August 11th, and so we hope that you'll join us for that. It'll be a wonderful experience that hopefully you're able to participate in. We'll have about 30 students participating in that live musical. They'll be rehearsing that musical all throughout the course of this week, and we're really excited to see the work that they put into that experience. Secondly, the United Methodist Women's Salad Luncheon is taking place on August 14th. We really hope that you'll join us for that. All of the proceeds for that experience go to support the missions of our United Methodist women. So we hope that you'll join us for that. The Bounce Back, Welcome Back experience for Sunday School kickoff and all of the wonderful things that go into that is taking place on September 8th. So we hope that you'll join us for that as well. As we get ready for this worship experience this morning, I want to express an incredibly huge thank you to everybody who helped us make Vacation Bible School possible, from the adult volunteers to the student volunteers to the set designers to people who came in and donated trees and everything else to make this experience possible. Thank you so much. The students this week have had an incredible time experiencing and growing in their relationship with Jesus, and we hope that it's been a blessing for those of you who have sent kids or grandkids to be a part of this experience as well. I want to let you know that on our website, there's an opportunity to fill out a digital prayer card. We receive those every single day. There are folks, it seems like, that fill out prayer cards and send them prayer requests through our website. We receive those. We take an opportunity through the course of our day to pray over those. And there's a group of folks that pray in our church every Thursday morning. They gather inside one of the spaces in our church and they pray over all of those things that have been shared with us. So please visit our website, brightonfumc.org, if there's anything that we can be praying for you or about for somebody else in our community about. We encourage you to take a moment to fill that out. And with that, I encourage you to join us as we worship together. And like I said, I pray that the message that you receive this day, the prayers that you experience, would be a blessing as we gather and celebrate all that God has shown us over this last week in Vacation Bible School. Thank you. I invite you to hear these words from the scriptures. This passage comes from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast, according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the word of God for God's people, for which we say, thanks be to God. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who's capable of great surprises. Amen. One of the things that I love about the scriptures is that they preserve all kinds of stories inside them. If nothing else, the Bible is incredibly true and honest. In this particular story, you have a story about Jesus, the Son of God, getting lost from his parents. I mean, what could be more authentically human than parents every once in a while losing track of kids and probably being worried sick? The scripture tells us that Mary and Joseph lost track of Jesus for 3 days when he was 12. They searched everywhere, high and low. I can imagine the complete anxiety and distraught and fear and everything that would have gone into that moment of being anxious about where in the world is your son. Finally, they get the intuition to go visit the temple, to go see if he's there. And sure enough, you can imagine their surprise and joy to discover him sitting there amongst the temple elders and teachers, asking them questions in the old Socratic way, exchanging ideas and being filled with ideas himself. And everybody was so impressed that here was this 12-year-old sitting inside the temple asking all these wonderful questions, challenging, pushing back, adding insights to the conversation. You can imagine Mary and Joseph's relief. And yet they were also a little bit upset, totally justifiably. "Jesus, where were you?" they wondered, as any parent would if they lost track of their child for more than a short moment in a grocery store. You can imagine Mary and Joseph and their anxiety just lifting and raising over the course of those 3 days, and their great relief at the end of it, having found their son after such a long search. Jesus' answer is kind of bold. He said, "Of course, Mom and Dad, I'll be in my father's house. Why would you look anywhere else?" It's almost like he's saying, this is exactly where my calling is, where I'm supposed to be. I don't know why you wasted your time searching for me in other places. This particular story shows a pretty human Jesus moment, a 12-year-old getting lost, separating themselves from the parent, and yet true to Jesus's form, rather than being off doing something mischievous or nefarious, Jesus is simply sitting there in the temple, setting the record straight about things that God had shared with him over the course of their relationship. Everyone felt blessed, and the passage ends with a statement about Jesus' name and recognition beginning to spread throughout the region at that particular time. A couple of chapters later, we hear the story of Jesus returning to his hometown of Nazareth and opening up the scriptures to Isaiah, proclaiming what some consider to be the mission statement of Jesus while he was with us here on earth. "I've come to preach recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free," was the passage that he read from Isaiah. There, he wasn't exactly received well. The people from the community didn't like at that moment what Jesus had to say. He was boldly proclaiming a message that was transformational, that set the world over. It flipped it on its head, stating that God was for marginalized and oppressed people. And needless to say, folks from Nazareth weren't exactly excited to welcome the prophet back into his hometown. In the story that we read today, which was one of the three Bible stories that we shared with students over the course of Vacation Bible School, students this last week were asked to remember moments that they were surprised. In close connection with Mary and Joseph's experience of being surprised to find Jesus gone, surprised to realize that he was in the temple, surprised to be reconnected with him, and surprised that Jesus told them, "You don't have to worry about me, Mom and Dad. I'll be in the temple. Of course I'll be there." The question I have for you is, when is the last time you've been surprised? Some surprises are good. Some surprises are terrible. We get surprised every once in a while with things that completely transform or alter the course that we have in life. Surprises are part of what it means to be a spiritual and a faithful person. You can remember the surprise with Mary and Joseph, the ways in which they individually found out that they were going to be the ones entrusted to bring the Son of God into the world. You can remember Paul being surprised on his road to Damascus when suddenly his eyes were covered over and the guy who was a persecutor of the church, the guy who wanted to put Christians to death, suddenly had his life completely transformed and he couldn't be quieted about the gospel that he had experienced and had a part of his life. The Bible is filled with beautiful surprises. People's lives being completely altered and changed. The moment that David took the slingshot and took out Goliath and suddenly was on a trajectory to become one of the greatest monarchs in the history of Israel. Perhaps you'll remember the surprise that the scriptures themselves begin with the first family where one brother kills another. Can you imagine the surprise of Cain and Abel and the way in which that story unfolds? We're all surprised in our life. We go through life coasting along sometimes. Things are convenient, easy, and suddenly we get a phone call from a doctor that causes us to cancel vacations, to transform the moments that we have life left into precious time spent with the people that we love and care about. Sometimes we're surprised when one of our kids picks up a phone and calls us to let us know how things are going in our life. At other moments, we're surprised because we think everything's fine, and suddenly our partner tells us that they no longer want to be with us, and suddenly the life that we thought we imagined or hoped for or dreamed of gets completely hijacked, and we realize that we're going in a completely different direction. Sometimes we're surprised when all of a sudden resources that we never had before become available to us, or somebody goes out of their way to be kind to us, and we wonder, what in the world went into their decision? Why are they being so kind to me? What is it about me that's caused them to do this sacrificial, loving, beautiful thing for me? Surprises are part of life. And they can alter who we are and what we believe to be true about the world. One of the challenges that I want to give to all of you listening to this message this morning is to go out into the world and surprise somebody with something good. Be the kind of person that, you know, in a whim's notice, buys a meal for the person behind you in the drive-thru. Perhaps you could be the kind of person that surprises a relative by picking up the phone and giving them a call and letting them know how much you appreciate them. Maybe you'll surprise somebody in your life by reaching out to them and letting them know that for the first time in a long time, you're finally in a place where you're able to forgive them for some wrong that they did deep within your family history. Perhaps you can be a part of surprising somebody by rolling up your sleeves and showing up at somebody's house to cut their grass or to help them in some way in some project that you know that they have been waiting to do or unable to do for a long time. I hope that in some way you're able to surprise somebody. Over the course of the last week, it's been so cool to see so many volunteers getting down on their hands and knees and explaining stories from the Bible to children. Oftentimes when you tell a story to a kid, you have to really think about it, figure out some way that you can make this story relevant to them. I encourage you to pick one of your favorite Bible stories, something that's been meaningful to you, and take a moment and think about how you would tell it to a child who exists in your life. My challenge to you over the course of the next week is to find that story, to think about how you would tell it to a kid. Maybe it's your own child, maybe it's a grandchild, maybe it's a neighbor or a friend, but tell that story in a way that connects to them. My hope is that you can take a moment and think about why that story was included in the scriptures in the first place. Perhaps in thinking about how you would tell that story to a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 12-year-old will help you connect to the story yourself. Maybe you weren't able to visit Vacation Bible School this week, but you really wish that you could have taken some part in it. This is your opportunity to connect with somebody in the community and in a meaningful way, share one of the stories that's meaningful to you. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to have an opportunity to preach in another church. And they asked me to preach a sermon that was relevant to kids. And I immediately thought of the story of the prodigal son. And I'm so excited to take that story and bring it into a modern children's version. I've been spending some time over the last couple of weeks thinking about how to make that story about inheritance, about squandering opportunities, about letting your family down, about getting a second chance and being welcomed home by a father and a community that loves you, about older brothers or siblings that look down on you and are like, how could you give a gift of reconciliation, redemption to my younger brother who's been a terrible person? And I'm so excited to preach that message. And by thinking about how to make it relevant in this other church community that's filled with kids, the entire church, the last time I preached there was pregnant, and now all those kids have been born, and they have like 30 or 40 kids involved in the service. And so the pastor said, if you come here, you just have to know you have to preach in a way that's relevant to 5-year-olds and to 3-year-olds, and even to some of the parents of young kids. And so I can't wait to preach there in a couple of weeks. But it's been such a good practice to me to think about, how is this message relevant to the next generation? How is it relevant to kids? How can I take this story and make it meaningful to a child? I want to challenge you to do the same. Over the course of this last week, we've looked at the story of Jacob's ladder. We looked at this story of Jesus getting lost from his parents for 3 days, and his parents have to go on a manhunt to try to find him in the temple. And finally, we looked at the story of Jesus calming the storm and what it meant to the disciples the moment that he calmed the storm and suddenly everything was peaceful on the Sea of Galilee. Volunteers have taken each of those stories and tried to figure out how they can communicate them so that they're relevant in the kids' lives. And I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to open up your Bible and to take a moment to read through the scriptures to find a story that's been meaningful to you and to teach it to somebody else. Maybe it's just the prayer that you lead before dinner time and you share, you know, I've been reading a story in the Bible that I found really relevant and meaningful to me, and I just want to share it to you before we sit down and have dinner. Maybe it's an opportunity that you have as a family to read the story together and ask questions about what this story means to you. But I hope that at some point in the next week, you'll have an opportunity to wrestle with the scriptures and to read them for yourself. We've been doing that this week at Vacation Bible School, and I believe that you can do it as well. So as we close this time together, I hope that you'll be on the lookout for surprises. It's one of the ways that God does God's work in the world. When something shocking or unexpected transpires in our lives or in the lives of somebody else. And I hope that you'll be on the lookout for the moments in your life where you feel like it's the hand of God sort of reaching through the world and impacting the events that you're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. I hope some of your surprises are good. And I understand that in life, sometimes the surprises that we experience are terrible and unexpected, that they're life-altering and life-changing. And in those moments, I hope that you're able to realize what a beautiful community that you have in this church. I hope that you're surrounded with all the support that you need to be able to navigate all of life's surprises. We're here for you, and God is here for you. And we pray that you're able to find the support that you need. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We're going to do music a little bit differently this morning. And we've got a tiny band, and we're going to do some very energetic songs. Please stand. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all that has happened in the lives of our students here, a part of our church in the last week. We're grateful for the ways in which your Holy Spirit has touched the lives of students here and in our community. We're grateful for the volunteers who gave of their time. And we're grateful for the stories that have been etched on the students' hearts. We're grateful for the story of Jacob's ladder, of Jesus preaching in the temple, and the opportunity that we are able to grow in our faith in the moment that Jesus calmed the storm out in the Sea of Galilee. We're grateful for these stories and the ways in which they allowed our students to grow in their relationship with you. As we gather for worship this day, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to touch us wherever we are, from the comfort of our own living room to the back porch or patio that we're sitting on as we take in this service. We're grateful for the ways in which the message of this morning was carried with folks as they're driving down highways or experiencing this message from the comfort of a hotel far away. We pray that your Holy Spirit would touch us and provide for us our every need. Allow us to feel comfort in places where comfort is a stranger. Allow us to seek support in the ways that we need to grow in our relationship with you. Convict us, O God, of the ways in which we've fallen short of the way that you're calling us to live in the world, for the things that we did that we wish we hadn't, and for the things that we haven't done that we wish we had. We pray that you would enter our hearts and our minds and transform us so that we might be ever more in the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus. We pray for our community, that people would experience your presence and your grace wherever you meet them. We pray for the missions of our church, particularly for the opportunity that we've had to gather with Millie and her family from the Czech Republic. We're grateful for the 20-year partnership that our church has shared with our brothers and sisters halfway around the world in the Czech Republic. We pray for their church and the ministries that go on there, the overnight retreats, the summer camps, the Easter egg hunts, the weekly worship experiences. We pray for their pastor, for their leadership, and the opportunities that they have to serve you in their country as they continue to open up people's minds to the messages of Jesus Christ. God, today we pray for folks in our community who are struggling with the ability to provide their next meal. We pray for folks who are hungry, for folks who are home insecure, for people who are struggling to get by from one week to the next. And we pray that our church would continue to be a blessing and to our entire community, continue to make a difference in Jesus' name. And now, O God, we pause in the midst of our daily lives to give this moment to you, to allow us to experience your Holy Spirit's presence. And so we lift the things that are near and dear to our hearts individually to you in this time of silence. And now, O God, we pray together with the confidence of children the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we've come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to give back a portion of what God has given to us. One of the great things that we get to do as people, as a part of the body of Christ, is bless others. And the offering that we receive at this church continues to be a blessing to folks, not only right here in this community, but it also provides resources and support for people all around the world. This morning's offering, we invite you to give. If this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously. You can do so by visiting www.brightonfumc.org/give, if that's something that you feel moved to do. And if this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence in and of itself is a gift, and we hope that we're able to see you or connect with you online. We are so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home, and we pray that this service was a blessing to you.
Jordan. Oh, lily of the valley, stand by me.
Stand by me.
God, who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
God, who never lost a battle, stand by me. God, who knowest all about me, stand by me.
Friends, on behalf of all of us here at this church, we want to thank you for joining us in worship this morning. And as I mentioned earlier in the service, we hope that something that we said or prayed or sung together today allowed you to grow closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for spending your valuable time with us in worship this morning. We'd be so honored if you take a moment to fill out a connection card. Let us know you're here. Type a comment into the YouTube video or into the Facebook feed. We're so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home. And with that, I encourage you to go out into the world and be a part of the great work that God is already at work doing in our community. Allow yourself to be used by the Holy Spirit in new and surprising and exciting ways. Allow yourself to be on full alert for what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. We hope that as you go out into the world, you will go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.